Hi, and welcome to week three. The topic for today is flirting and presentation, and I am super excited about this topic. I know you got my emails where I said I was going to share some juicy tidbits today, so I really hope you are listening to this recording because you're going to hear some transformational tips on how to present yourself and how to use a couple of basic flirting strategies that can shift your ability to connect with a date out in the real world. I know that was really important to some of you, to not just be focused on online dating, but also to be attracting men in your daily lives. These tips will work for that. And also, I wanted to give you some flirting and presentation techniques as you're starting to move offline and into the dates or finding dates through other avenues. What do you do when you get to those dates and you want him to like you, you like him, but you're not sure how to present yourself or how to express interest? I hear a lot of times from men that they say, well, I would have asked her out on a date again, but I felt like she wasn't that into me. And, you know, I'll talk to women and they'll say, I thought I was doing everything that I could to express my interest. And sometimes there's a little bit of a disconnect between what we think we're putting out into the world and what's actually being perceived. So we'll talk a lot about that today. And I want to really make it focused on presentation first, in addition to flirting skills. And when I talk about presentation, I'm not saying that you show up sloppy to your date with, you know, your dress wrinkled or looking like you just rolled out of the office, but how you set someone up for the date and what they are expecting can really impact how well the date goes. So you could have a really amazing profile and great presentation online, but if you show up for the date and your presentation isn't in alignment with what they thought that they were getting, then you end up with an expectation disappointment. And one of my favorite quotes, I actually heard it again this week in the Brené Brown book, but Anne Lamott says, expectations are resentments waiting to happen. So you want to make sure that his expectations are well aligned with what you're going to deliver on, who you're going to be when you show up. And I'm sure you've experienced this from the other end of having this idea of a person in your mind when you've talked to them, you've texted with them, you've chatted, and then you show up on the date and you go, oh, I thought he was going to be funnier or cuter or shorter or taller or whatever it is. So it's really important that we're aligning expectations. And we'll talk next week about follow-through and communication, and that will be part of that. But this week it's all about the presentation. So I'm going to be sharing today my presentation system, which I share with people in talks all over the country. And then we're going to go into some specific tricks and tips to up your flirting game. And after that, we'll open it up for questions. So here's the basic presentation outline. I want to remind you that you have only 7 seconds. That's 7 seconds to make an impression, according to recent studies. And that's it. 7 seconds to get his attention, 7 seconds to entice him into a second date. And like it or not, men are going to start creating their idea about you from the moment you walk in the door. But just because they already have an impression of who you are, that doesn't necessarily make it true, right? And it might feel a little bit unfair, and it might make you feel a little powerless, but I want to impress on you today that you have the power to shift perceptions and rewrite your story. So today I'm going to show you a secret weapon, a really powerful weapon, and when used correctly, it can help you to get noticed over others who aren't doing it. So I want to talk to you a little bit about personal branding. And if you've read Spin Your Web, you know that the primary concept of that book is that you're branding yourself to be successful with online dating and also with offline dating. And so today I want to show you how to harness the power of personal branding through understanding and utilizing your essence. And I know the word essence sounds like a ridiculous, like, esoteric Hollywood word, right? It sounds like the foam on top of a latte or some like kooky spiritual supernatural nonsense. But what really is your essence? Let me simplify this for you. Your essence is the part of you that enters the room first and that lingers after you've left. I'll repeat that. Your essence is the part of you that enters the room first and that lingers after you left. And this is why I've talked before about keeping your first states short and sweet and ending like they're feeling like they're ending in the middle. You want to end it on a high point, because what do people remember most from a date? You remember the beginning and you remember the end. And if you draw out the end beyond its natural ending point, the essence that you're leaving them with is feeling exhausted, is feeling overwhelmed, is getting into questions that were uncomfortable. And so sometimes it might seem like you're on a roll, but if your first dates are lasting longer than, say, 90 minutes tops, chances are you're kind of getting into second date territory on the first date, and you're giving them too much information. So beyond just getting that impression of you in your initial essence, they're starting to draw additional conclusions that are not usually helpful to you in the early part of the dating phase. So as we're talking about your essence, it's important to understand the two factors of personal branding. There's one, who you inherently are. Who are you? And then two is what people need to see from you in order to achieve your desired result. So there's who you are, and then there's how people that you're trying to impact will perceive you, or specifically men that you want to date. And your desired result, I'm assuming, is a relationship with the right type of man, right? So I'll share a little story with you about when I became aware of my own personal brand. When I was in this theater class in college, and we did an exercise about essence, which is, you know, just fancy theater talk for what we're already saying. So we walked around the room and waited for the teacher to call out someone's name. And when that name was said, we were supposed to embody that person's essence and express how we perceived their energy physically, and repeating their name in a way that made you feel like that person. So she says Robin's name, and Robin was really high energy and fun and friendly, and so everyone put their hands in the air and started jumping up and down and saying, Robin, Robin, Robin. And then she said Mandy's name, and Mandy was sort of easygoing and no nonsense, just kind of shuffled along. Everyone shuffled and said, Mandy, Mandy, Mandy. And then she said Damona. And you guys, everyone crossed their arms in front of them and in front of their chest, and then like kind of balled up a little bit, scrunched up their face and said, Damona. And I was shocked, because to me, Damona wasn't closed off or guarded or insecure. Yet when everyone in my class did Damona with crossed arms and a sort of discerning face, I had to acknowledge what they were seeing. And since I didn't want to be perceived that way, and I'm not sure how you're perceiving me up till this point, but I had to work very hard to change how I was presented, because it didn't feel like the real me. And things I didn't realize that I was doing with my body, with my facial expressions, with my tone of voice, were sending a message to people that I was not open and friendly. I was guarded and judgmental. And that was not in alignment with who I was. So what did I do? I started wearing brighter colors. I stopped crossing my arms when I was listening in class. I made sure to smile even when nothing else was going on and I was just sitting and listening in class. Instead of having resting bitch face, I had resting happy to be here face. And eventually things shifted, but first impressions die hard. So I really want to teach you today about how to make that first impression really land. And this is not about becoming someone that you're not. This is about being aware of the person that you are and being aware of how others see you from the outside and aligning those two things so that you present in the world the way you feel on the inside. So today I want to teach you my basic method for personal branding, and it's literally called the basic method. It's an acronym. So there are five major factors in personal branding that convey what you're trying to say. There's B is for body language, what you say non-verbally. A is for your advocates, who you're with is in dating is your wing woman, the person who introduced you to your date, something like that. The S is for sound, the intonation, the pace, the quality of your voice. And the I is for image, your clothing, your hair, your overall look and presentation. And the C in basic is content. What's in your story? What are the words that you're saying? And 90% of how men absorb what you're saying on the date is nonverbal. So while that content piece is important, I want to emphasize that it's not as crucial as the other components. And people always tell me that they're so nervous on dates because they don't know what to talk about. And here's the catch, guys. Gals, I should say, here's the catch. It's not the what that you should be worrying about as much as the how. Doesn't matter if you don't know exactly what you're going to say on the date. If you're clear about the impression you want to leave him with, and you are in alignment with who you are on the inside, and present bringing that out to the outer world, the content should flow more smoothly. The stories should come to mind more easily. You shouldn't have to work as hard for the conversation on the date. Okay? So this week, I want you to focus in on body language, sound, and image. We're not going to talk as much about the advocates because that will change from setting to setting, or the content because now we know that isn't as important as the way you're delivering it, okay? And I will send you videos that will elaborate on body type and how to dress for your type so that you really feel sexy and feel desirable and feel comfortable in your own skin. I also have a video that I'll send you on how to dress for the date. And that, so that, those two will cover the image portion. And that's why today on this call I want to discuss sound and body language as a part of the flirting portion, okay? When people tell me that they don't know how to flirt, it's usually because they've felt uncomfortable doing it, right? Or they were out of practice. If you're not doing it, you're not going to be comfortable doing it. So a lot of times people say to me, oh, I don't know how to flirt. And then I ask them, I'll ask a woman, well, how many hours do you spend at work? And she'll say 50, 60. And I'll say, how many hours do you spend talking to attractive men? She'll say none, one. And if you really just look at that, if you think of anything that you've gotten good at, it probably came through practice, playing an instrument, doing a sport, even just trying to be healthy or lose weight. It was the consistent practice that got you to be successful in that arena. And I really look at flirting and dating skills as learned skills, not something innate. So take the pressure off yourself if you're feeling like, oh, I'm a woman that didn't learn how to flirt properly. It's not that, or that just doesn't know how to flirt, or that I'm just awkward with flirting. It's not your fault. It's that you've practiced other skills and other ways of presenting yourself more than you've practiced presenting yourself as an attractive, sexy female. If you spent all of that time at work, 50 hours a week, being in an assertive leadership position, how do you expect that you're going to be able to turn that off at the drop with the snap of your fingers when you go on to the date? You can't. That's unrealistic for you to expect that. Therefore, we need to find moments where you can practice that in your daily life and get you going on dates, even if some of them are practice dates, so that you're more comfortable in your own skin and turning on some of these flirting charms. And they don't feel weird or awkward or uncomfortable or geeky when you do them because they really do work and you have to send the message very clearly to men when you're interested. Let me tell you the story of my client, Reba, who came to me. She was approaching 70 years old. She might have been, I think, 68 or 69. And she had been divorced and not dating for years, I think actually decades. And with her, we did private flirting sessions with my flirting coach. And the way that we do these sessions is my flirting coach is trained in improv. And so we work on listening and responding, being comfortable in your body, staying in the moment. That's something that's so hard for people to do. A lot of flirting is just staying present and responding to what is said to you, not just waiting for your turn to talk and building off of the conversation. So Reba was out of practice. And within a few weeks of doing this work, she was going on multiple dates a week. And most of the times they ended in second date invitations. And so I know if this woman who was 70 years old, who hadn't dated in over 10 years, could turn around her dating life and could have men falling at her feet, asking her out on dates, asking her for second dates. And she was the one doing the choosing and saying, this is someone that I want to invest my time in, and having the ability to turn on the flirting skills when she was ready to do it. I know you can do it too. And the first step is really just staying with listening and staying in the moment. Let me give you a few tips on body language. Ideally, you want to sit in close proximity to your date. It's funny, I have a private client I was talking to last week, and I told her this, and she almost fell out because she was used to having dates. She liked personal space, and she was used to having dates where she sat across the table from the guy. Those kind of dates, it's very hard to build chemistry because you feel like you're on an interview, right? When you go into your boss's office, you're sitting across the date. Across the table. That table is a physical barrier between the two of you. Works in an office setting, works in an interview, doesn't work quite as well on a date because it doesn't allow you the opportunity to be physical with the person when you want to be. I'll talk in a moment about using the power of touch. And it doesn't allow you to really feel the chemistry because it feels like you're just sending questions back and forth across the table. It's much more casual, and it can be a much more flexible conversation flow if you sit catty corner, however you say it, next to your date. And that allows you a lot more opportunities to make connections and to flirt with him. So if that's something you're not doing already, this will be a big game changer for you. Now, of course, if you walk in and you say, he doesn't look how I was expecting him to, and I'm not sure that I want this date to go somewhere further, then you can actually use this as a tactic and sit in the interview style position. I call it interview style. I call the catty corner positioning conversation style. So you can choose what result you want based on where you position yourself. So the power of touch. I want you to really think about how impactful it is when you touch a man. If you really think about it, men don't get touched very often. They are not conditioned to touch one another. They go to a business meeting, they shake hands. We see our girlfriends and we give them a hug or a kiss on the cheek. It's a different experience between men and women. So when you touch a man, even in a casual setting, that is super powerful. And it should be used sparingly because this is a powerful weapon, ladies. But if you want to express interest to him, you can touch him casually to let him know that you like what he's saying. He says something funny and you just very lightly touch him on the hand. You're hilarious. That has a very different tone than if you're sitting across from him interview style and you say, you're hilarious. That, to me, feels like it could be read as condescending. It could be read as inauthentic. But if you partner it with a touch, he will know very clearly that that is expressing interest and that you find him funny or interesting, or you are accepting of him taking things a step further, which in the first or second date is probably just, I am interested in going out with you again. Okay, let's not go too fast with the touch. But you should know that there are certain zones where if you touch him, that means you mean different kind of business. So if you touch him on the knee, you better look out, because you've just sent him a signal of something much more serious. So touching him on the hand, on the shoulder, on the back, those are more casual touches that can express an interest that you're building up to. But if you touch him anywhere like hips, waist, and down, that is something that is more of a sexual touch. Okay, so be careful. You want to also make sure you're making good eye contact. Many times we're uncomfortable on the date. So what do? We look down at our phone, we look around, see who else is out there. And this is another reason why sitting conversation style is really helpful, because it can be really intimidating if you're making eye contact and you're sitting interview style, right? You're like staring them down. But if you're sitting conversation style, you can glance over at him while he's talking, and then it's not awkward for those moments when you do look away. It gives you something else to look at, and then you can also be drawing stimulus from things that are happening out in the world, a game being on, something funny happening with the waitress. But that eye contact is really important. And then the third one is smiling. And I remember in my story earlier, I said that I really was making an effort to smile even when nothing was really happening, because you want to be approachable. This is especially helpful if you're trying to meet men out at the bar or at a mixer. We talked a lot about the venues last week where you can meet men. If you look like you're having a good time, you are more approachable, and it might feel really weird to smile when nothing is happening. But you could be smiling at anything, something funny that you heard the other day, something that you are seeing, something that you're just thinking about, but it makes you so much more approachable and open if you focus on smiling. And I guarantee you, if you are not thinking about smiling, you are probably looking like I was in class way back then and sitting with resting bitch face. Because if you're not thinking about it, your muscles will automatically relax, and then you don't look like you're having a good time. You want to convey to him you're warm, approachable, friendly, and you're having a good time, and he could have a good time talking to you. So that's a great exercise just to begin to get comfortable and practice these flirting skills and practice your conversation skills, not just with men that you're interested in, but look at beginning conversations everywhere you're going. I want you to really focus on that this week. So instead of just thinking of the grocery checker as this person is the means to an end, like I have groceries, they're checking me out, I give them the money and I leave, really think about how could I start a conversation with the grocery checker? Look at something that you're buying and ask them a question. Have they ever tried that? Or ask them about the music that's playing in the store. Or ask them something about their day. Begin a conversation, and then you'll find when you open up to conversations how many people want to connect, but we're all so stuck in our world, it's harder for a lot of us to do that. And when someone else opens up, we go, oh, yes, I was looking for some human connection. Begin the conversation with your Uber driver, with or your bus driver, or someone on the subway, someone that you don't normally talk to at work. Really focus this week on beginning conversations. And then when you're really comfortable with that, you can create openings and begin conversations with men that you find attractive. Not with the intention of asking them out, not to go into the position of the pursuer, but to create an opening and let him know that you are a friendly person, you're warm, you are open to a conversation, and then it's up to him to take the lead from there. One other thought I'd like to share with you on body language is creating curves. So you may have heard this before. You probably haven't heard this. I hear this because I study all of this data and look at human behaviors and work with psychologists and sociologists. So I know patterns in human behavior. And one thing that women do, without even realizing it, if they're attracted to a man, they will turn their hips towards him. Crazy, right? Notice it if you go out to a bar or restaurant and you see people on a date or talking to one another, or sometimes one man might be trying to get the interest of another woman, but she'll have of a woman and she'll be talking to another man. She'll have her hips turned towards the other guy. You can read very carefully. Just study first to see how it's happening with other people. You can read who she is interested in just by seeing who her hips are turned towards. And so take that information to know that you actually can convey interest on a subliminal level, on a subconscious level to men by turning your hips towards them. Because they don't necessarily know that you're doing this, but it's triggering what they are conditioned to see as woman showing interest behavior. Like out in the wild, there are all of these signals like where, you know, animals' colors change or they have different behaviors that show that they are interested in a man. And this is how we as human females actually do it. So I also want to talk to you about sound. And I want to let you know that intonation really matters. You probably have heard me talk about the fact that men are attracted to flexibility, not youth. I hear all the time from men, from women, that men always want to date younger women. That is not true. Men want to date flexible women, women that are open to trying new things, that will be able to go along with them when they want to take a trip somewhere or when they need someone to accompany them for a business event. And the more flexible that you can be, the more that he perceives he has a place in your life. You can convey flexibility. So I've been talking with this speech therapist that helps people find their natural vocal tone, tone of voice. And a lot of times when we go on a date, what do we think? We have to be high energy and we have to be memorable. And so what it tends to do is it makes you have to project your voice and be loud and be really in his face and make sure that he remembers you. And you probably can tell from the tone of my voice that's changed that I've gotten really excited, but it feels a little bit bombastic and you've probably had to back up from the phone because it's a little bit too much, right? Instead, you want to think of drawing him in and using what the speech therapist calls a confidential voice. You want to make him, you think in your mind like you're telling him a secret when you're talking. Now, I'm not saying that you should go to a loud bar and then talk so quietly that he can't hear you. But this is another reason why sitting conversation style is helpful, because then you don't have to shout across the bar for him to hear you. You can be physically close to him, and with your vocal tone, you can draw him forward, and he'll want to listen in to what you have to say. Confidential voice, soft tones. And really think of like placing your voice forward in the mask of your face, not deep down in your throat, where we tend to swallow our voice when we're nervous. When we're nervous, we don't know quite what we're saying, and so our voice gets down here. And that doesn't convey, what are the things? Flexibility, positivity, openness. Those are the things that having a lighter, softer, feminine voice can allow you to do. Now again, I'm just giving you some tips and tricks and tools. This is not meant to turn you into somebody that you're not. This is not meant for you to put on falsetto of somebody else's voice. But this is something just for you to be aware of. Like, if you could just go to your next date and think a little bit as you're talking about positivity. And sometimes your voice will do this automatically. So try to find that joy in the things that you're saying, and your voice might automatically inflect upwards. And think about intentionally finding that placement of your voice that feels like you're inviting possibility. If you speak in a voice that pulls him closer, he'll keep coming back for more. But the majority of flirting is really about being comfortable in your own skin and knowing that you're projecting what you want him to see. So this week's videos and exercises will show you how to do just that. So I hope the vocal exercise makes sense to you. I wanted to give you something that I know you're not hearing anywhere else. I mean, other people can teach you about different flirting skills and ways to begin conversations, but I really wanted to give you some of those deeper level tricks of what's happening on a subconscious level and how you can convey interest and really be magnetic to the kind of men or the specific man that you're trying to attract. I know a lot of you are now at the point where you're going on second and third dates, and that's really exciting. So I want you to continue to do these things and to absorb the content that I'm delivering that allows you to move from first date to second to third and so on, really being in integrity with who you are and what your long-term goals are and your values and the things that we worked on in week one. And if you're not one of the women that is at that point with going on multiple dates, that's totally okay. Everything that we're talking about is still building up that platform for you to be able to attract the men that you want to attract. So do it on your timeline, do it on your schedule, and just find one thing to focus on this week. Maybe it's in the power of touch. Maybe it's in smiling. Maybe it's in generating conversations. Maybe it's in matching what you're putting out in the world into who you feel you are on the inside, or in speaking in confidential voice. Just pick one, maybe two things that you're focusing on this week and see how that creates shifts in your life. All right, please join me next week. This is on follow-through and communication. So that's really, really key for you all. That's where a lot of you are at in this process, whether you're just setting up the dates or you are in communication with someone that you really like and you want to make sure that things move forward. Don't miss next week. And make sure that you're emailing me your questions throughout the week, and that you know I'm here to support you throughout this whole process. So you have email coaching for the next 2 weeks. Make sure that you take advantage of that, and let me guide you on whether it's creating your profile or some of these communication challenges that you're having. Let me support you in this process. Thank you so much for joining and for listening in, and I will talk to you next week, same time, same place.